Welcome to Metamorphosis Sunday. Metamorphosis is actually the Greek word for transfiguration, believe it or not. That churchy word used to remember this story recorded in the three synoptic gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke. On this day, the church reflects and celebrates this unusual event when Jesus' appearance changes on the mountain as witnessed by Peter, James, and John. When I heard the word metamorphosis, I usually think about the transformations of a caterpillar into a butterfly. Something we were first taught as a child, either in a children's book or during one of our early science class. Did that happen to you as well? It is an amazing process, and it is even more amazing if you ever got to witness a butterfly emerge from the chrysalis with its large eyes. It has the power to set any adults free to wonder with amazement like what children naturally do. So our first invite this morning is to assume the posture of wondering and suspend our analytical adult brain. What do you wonder if you were on the mountaintop with Jesus and his disciples? Any takers? A little bit louder. Glorious. For me, I wonder what Jesus was being transformed into. Whether that whole process of transformations ended with what was recorded in this memory from the disciples. I wonder how Jesus felt about his transformed appearance. I wonder how others felt about his transformed life. Whether people are happy about it, or people don't really know what to make of it. Or maybe some even was quite afraid of being revealed that nature of Jesus. One of my go-to sermon prep resources these days is the Wild Lectionary from Salal and Cedar Watershed Discipleship Community, a ministry of this diocese. Dr. Mary Ann Saunders offers an utmost honest reflection on the readings today from the perspective of a transgender woman disciple of Christ. She began with saying that, open quote, as a trans woman, the transfiguration feels deeply personal, end quote. To Mary Ann, the story of the transfigurations is about Jesus' identity being fully human and fully divine, finding a safe place to manifest, fully understood and celebrated on that mountaintop. For a single moment in Jesus' earthly existence up to this very point, he was reconciled to the glorified form of being as the second person of God, being fully divine and fully human, with nothing to hide. And he found himself in the company of Moses and Elijah, beloved prophets who both had experienced visions of the glory of God in their own lives. If you remember the story from the Hebrew scriptures, Moses encountered the glory of God on Mount Sinai, and Elijah on Mount Carmel. Before Elijah and Moses, Jesus must have felt being fully known for once, without trying to explain himself and prove who he was among people who can only relate to him when he put a veil over his glorified appearance, but not to Moses and Elijah. They have seen it, they understood, no explanation needed. As a trans woman, Mary Ann had to wrestle with her God-given belovedness, being challenged, dismissed, ridiculed on a daily basis. Jesus models for her how to live her vocation as a teacher who is never fully understood, but nevertheless perseveres. She found good news in the transfigurations of the Lord. And if you have ever had the experience of not fully understood, when other people try to build a booth around you to contain you in certain form that they only want to know about you, if you ever have to experience trying to explain to other people, this is not just me, there are more of me than what I am willing to let you see. If you ever wrestle with any of that, you may understand what Marianne Saunders was talking about. The story of the transfigurations of Jesus, theologically, in the way of the storytelling of the evangelist Luke, was a pivotal event in the memory of Jesus' disciples. It served as the pivot point, the two halves of Jesus' ministry. The first half, filled with stories of miracles and healing he performed, that gives us a foretaste of the kingdom of God he came to proclaim. And the second half, when his face was set hard towards Jerusalem, the place where he would lay down his life to be crucified on the cross at the hands of all who took offense of the love of God he came to represent. By that, he shows the depth of God's love by giving his very life in love, by refusing to match destructive power with destructive power, and by breaking the bonds of the grave. This story is like a hinge connecting the good news of incarnation and the good news of the Passover of God. By incarnation, God fills the whole creations with the presence of divine love. Jesus is the one who shows us how we may be fully divine while being fully human, his own life being living proof that there is no separation between what is material and what is spiritual. Yet the good news doesn't stop there, because the good news is not complete without God demonstrating the path to true freedom, not by clinging on to the power of love. Like as they came down the hill, the crowds were expecting him to be, to continue to use his power of love to heal, to do wonderful things that fits our desire for the transcendence. But no, but Jesus is going to show the essential part of being fully human and fully divine by laying down and self-emptying this love for the sake of the world. This is essentially the story that we shall reflect on throughout the rest of the season of Lent, during the stories and the events of the Holy Week and Easter. This past week, Archbishop John Stephen, our diocesan bishops, shares a deeply personal pastoral letter core in times like these. If we were Roman Catholic, there would be a Latin title to the letters. In his letter, in times like this, he draws our attentions of the whole diocese to the plight of particularly refugees around the world in what he called these days an obvious rise in xenophobia, fueled by rising costs and other things. And the voices from leaders south of the border didn't help, but only continue to feel this sense of xenophobia, to a point that not just the state, but even here in Canada, we are changing immigration policies. And in many other countries, he and other religious leaders have noticed that there is a big shrinking and stepping back of hospitality, which lies at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is inviting people in the diocese to join in this counter force of welcoming and hospitality, of a community of grace when we really mean it, to find ways to welcome others who've been rejected in other places. I think this gives shape to this invite from the story of the transfigurations we received and reflected on today. And to conclude, I want to share with you this beautiful poem, if the wonderful clicker could move forward. This beautiful poem by George Herbert, an Anglican priest in the 17th century, whose day of commemorations happened this past Tuesday. This poem is called Part 3 of the Love Poem, which was the final poem in George Herbert's anthology called The Temple. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick eye love, observing me, grow slack. From my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lack anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I be unkind, ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand, and smiling did reply, who make the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it does deserve. And know you not, said love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. And I did sit and eat. In a little while, we will gather around the table of the Lord. Despite us, despite who we think we are in terms of whether we deserve or not, around this table. And in the season of Lent, we will change the furniture, the orientations of chairs throughout the season of Lent, so that we will worship in a full circle with the table at the centerpiece of the circle to experience and be renewed by this generous love of God, which is being extended not just to the ones who are sitting here, but to others who have yet find their ways to this place of welcome. May it be so. Amen.